I want to preach this morning a little bit with a thought on continuing in the fellowship. Continuing in the fellowship. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is a message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say then we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John chapter 1, and we'll be there for most of the morning. A few other passages of scripture that I'll either quote or refer to, but I want to talk a little bit this morning about continuing in the fellowship. Folks, I don't know about you. Some of the happiest times that I have in my life as a believer is fellowshipping with other believers. I mean, I can spend the whole day in the office studying by myself and at the end of the day still have joy because I spent time with the Lord, or out somewhere visiting and making hospital calls and enjoy myself. But there's nothing like sitting down with other believers and having a time of fellowship, whether it be over a meal or a board game or just talking just to joy, because most of the time there's some laughter, there's a little bit of kidding, and there's always a little bit of food and coffee when you fellowship with other believers. I just enjoy that, but I'm afraid often that we don't really entertain it as much as we should. I believe that one of the greatest needs among Christians today is fellowship. In six verses of this chapter of 1 John, this fellowship or the fellowship is mentioned four times. It is mentioned 15 times in the New Testament. After the day of Pentecost, when about 3,000 souls were saved and they followed the Lord in believers' baptism, a little later there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. According to many Greek scholars, a little article, the, goes before each of the four things. The apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and the prayers, or in the prayers. See, there's no question that it's talking about the fellowship, the things we do while we're fellowshipping and enjoying time together. See, there's only one fellowship for a Christian, and that is fellowship of the family of God. We can have fellowship, or we can have some time spent with others. We can spend some time getting to know others. But when it comes down right to it, there's nothing like genuine biblical fellowship that is with other believers and followers of Christ. According to Strong's Concordance, fellowship is a partnership of two or more people sharing something that they have in common. And as believers, think about that for a moment. As true believers, we have a lot in common. Just a couple of things here. How about the forgiveness of sins? We have that in common. The eternal life in heaven waiting for us. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but today's society, I'm often saying, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But there's other days that I would like another day to talk to family, to a friend, and tell them about Christ. But by the end of the day, again, I'm saying, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And I often think that, especially with our granddaughters that are here, the three youngest living here, thinking about what life will be for them as they grow older. See, this is what real fellowship is. The partnership of sharing something that we have in common. So I want to mention this morning four things about this fellowship. Number one, fellowship can be obtained. Fellowship can be obtained. So you cannot join this fellowship. The only way to get into this fellowship is to be born into it. In other words, to be born again. See, I lived in Europe for many years, but that did not make me a European. For that, I would have had to have been born there. And like my daughter, who was born in Eastern Europe, has dual citizenship. Just because I live there, it doesn't make my citizenship there. And just because I go to church and talk about church doesn't mean my citizenship is in heaven. This fellowship of the born again, we see in John 3:3, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, saved people will have something in common with saved people. They will desire this fellowship. And if you have no desire for spiritual things, maybe, just maybe, it's because you have not been born again. I believe if you've trusted Christ, your personal Savior, part of you will automatically hunger and desire fellowship among other believers. It's not only good for us, I think it's something God has put within us as the Holy Spirit indwells within us, is a fellowship with other like-minded Christians. Billy Sunday said this, joining the church and being baptized without being born again will no more make you a Christian out of you than stabling your horse in the garage will make a car out of it. So in today's language, just because you park your car in the garage, or just because, you walk into the garage, it doesn't make you a car. And just because you come to church, attend church, read your Bible on occasion, doesn't make you a believer. And let me go a step further. Just because your mom and dad brought you to church, or your mom and dad are believers, doesn't make you a believer. That is individual choice that you make when you trust Christ as your Savior. This fellowship is obtained by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as I mentioned. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Dear friends, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? We know throughout history, and if you read any biographies or any autobiographies of great men of God, and even our young ladies and others serving on the mission field, you will probably read of a story where someone along the way attended church, thought they were saved, might even be baptized, but have never truly repented and trusted Christ as their personal Savior. I think I may have shared this story, so I won't go into it all again, but I can remember very clearly a pastor friend telling me his wife coming to the altar, pastoring his church for 10 plus years, just boo-hooing, coming forward and wondering what her need was. So he slipped down for the platform and said, "Sweetheart, what can I do for you?" And she simply said, "Honey, I love you, but I'm not going to hell for you or anybody. I need to get saved." The pastor's wife. Folks, just because you think you're saved, because you're brought up in church, because you attended church, or mom and dad told you you're a believer, what you need to understand and realize, has there been a time in your life where you realize the direction I'm heading is sinful, a sinful life, and you made an about face and said, "I'm turning and giving my life to Christ"? Unless you remember that repentance. And by the way, just believing is not enough. James tells us the devils believe and tremble. But see, there's no repentance in Satan with his demons. There must be repentance and turning to Christ. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Fellowship can be obtained. Number two, fellowship can be explained. The fellowship is explained there in the second part of verse number 3, that ye also may have fellowship with us. The "us" includes all the children of God. I have fellowship with John, the beloved, because I have his writings. I could read the Gospel of John. I can read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of Revelation, and fellowship with John in the things of God. Amen. I can have that time with them as I read the Word of God. I like that aspect of the idea, though I may never meet them. I can have somewhat of fellowship in reading the Word where God used them to pen these words. Dear friends, I can have fellowship with Moses, with Joshua, with David, Isaiah, and all the writers of the Word of God. I can have fellowship with the saints in this church. Thank God that the fellowship is with us. Dear friends, I've enjoyed my time. On my way into church this morning, Michelle and I were talking, as we often do. We always talk about church members on our way to church. You know, we've been here 5 months and a few weeks. Man, it's gone by fast. And to us, it's just flown by. And I enjoy it. And some of the often wonderful times I have is sitting down in fellowship. Gentlemen, if you can make it and you haven't, I know you. Some of you have to work regularly. Some of you don't. Even if it's only once a month. Man, the sweet fellowship we have on Tuesday mornings over coffee, laughing, and sometimes poking at one another. Often, usually, Brother Carey's on one of the brothers, most of the jokes. We pick at him all the time, or Brother Draper here. But we have a good time. Sitting down and playing cards, going to a ball game, sitting down with a meal with my church family. We enjoy the fellowship. We laugh. We cry together. We just have a good time. And that fellowship is something that we need. Folks, I don't know about you. At the end of a long day, I would much rather prepare to lay down after having some time of joyful fellowship, talking with someone around the table or by the phone as I lay down, prepare to wind down to go to sleep. Folks, I don't know about you. Fellowship is something that's key in the life of the Christian. I think it's very important. It will help you to have joy. It will encourage you. The fellowship can be obtained, but it also can be explained. But that is not all. It is a fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Verse 3, once again. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Dear friends, in knowing Christ, we also know the fellowship of our Lord's sufferings. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made comfortable unto His death. Dear friends, complete submission to Christ does not exclude suffering. He understands how we feel. And we go through suffering at times. We can understand what our Savior went through, that fellowship. Some of the greatest and the great Christians of the Bible suffered even unto death. Again, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Yes, even during suffering, we can still have sweet fellowship and knowing that our Savior understands. I don't know about you. I don't want to sign up for the list of suffering. I'll sign up for the fellowship. I'll sign up for the potluck and the ball games, all the activities. But I don't want to sign up for no suffering. But it comes our way on occasion. And we should be reminded or remind ourselves that He understands, as we can also fellowship and knowing and understand that the Lord knows how we feel, even through that suffering. Though the world may laugh and call us a fanatic, remember that is nothing compared to what Christ Jesus went for us on Calvary's cross. Oh, the fellowship that we can have. Now, I went for a walk yesterday, and I shared some of my Sunday school class and some other folks, and I forget how hot it gets here in Arizona. I'm a newbie. Okay, I forget, and you wake up in the morning, it's 78 degrees. I remember it used to be 68. It's 78 degrees, and before you know it, it goes from 78 to 103 in just a few hours. And sometimes I don't remember or realize how hot it is. I just remember what my app said when I rolled out of bed in the morning, making my coffee with the temperature. Oh, that's not so bad. I get out for a walk here in a little bit. Well, the other day I was out here at the church. Michelle dropped me off when I ran over to Walmart and the air conditioning. And I was out here, and I went for my little walk around the project over here where they're building these 244 units. And I didn't even think about how hot it was. I brought me a big thing of water and left it in the fellowship hall and went for my walk. And I was about 10 minutes into my walk and started sweating. I began to think, man, it's hot out here. Man, is it hot. I wish I'd have brought my water. And I kept praying and asking the Lord to bless and to meet the needs of the future people coming in. And Lord, some will be looking for a church. Some will need a church. Some will know the Lord. Some will need the Lord. And I was walking. I thought to myself, Lord, man, it's really getting hot out here. Lord, do you want me to preach on hell tomorrow or what? I mean, it was hot. And then as I walked, I prayed and began to ask the Lord to help me to remember and understand. And the Lord reminded me, even as hot as it was, I thought to myself, Lord, even if I walk another 15 minutes, which I did not, I said it would be nothing compared to what my Savior went through on Calvary. And no matter how I'm uncomfortable, how my sufferings and uncomforts all, it's nothing like it. And the Lord reminded me as I thought about the sermon for the day that while I'm walking, though it's hot and though I'm sweating and my walk is almost over, I've only got to make my way back around one more time and I'm through. I was reminded real quick, hey, I'm fellowshipping with the Lord. I'm not just out for a walk. I'm talking to my Savior. And all of a sudden, I felt a little better. I was still sweating. Don't misunderstand me. I felt a little better. I said, Lord, thank you for reminding me Because I think the rest of my walk is going to be so much more pleasurable as I walk in fellowship with my Savior. Dear friends, this really is that easy. Now, you don't have to go out and walk at 108, 113 degrees to have fellowship with the Lord. You can do it in the comforts of your home. You can do it in your car while you're driving down the road. But how often do we miss out and misunderstand what fellowship is all about? It can be explained, and it's right here in the Word of God, that you also may have fellowship with us and with Him. Are we taking advantage of the opportunities the Lord gives us for sweet fellowship? Fellowship can be obtained. Fellowship can be explained. But number three, fellowship can be and should be maintained. How do you stay in fellowship? How do you continually share with a partnership without interruption? Verse 7 tells us, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light. And Psalm 119, 105 says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is walking in the light of the Word of God. Not only can we have obtained it and explained it, but we can maintain that sweet fellowship. Sometimes it takes a little work, even among the family. It takes a little work with our relationship with the Lord and going through some of the suffering we may go through, but planning and having the time to have fellowship. Here's the problem with most Christians. They have the wrong kind of fellowship. Fellowship should be centered around the Lord Himself, centered around which is in common, salvation, the second coming of the Lord, knowing that we know that we know that we're saved and on our way, we can have that sweet fellowship. As I mentioned this once before, but y'all know I tease my wife all the time, and I've made this comment before. My wife and I have never argued in our marriage. Now, we have intense fellowship on occasion, the wrong kind of fellowship, but again, sometimes we have intense fellowship with other believers. Sometimes we have the fellowship that we should not have. We need to retrain and refocus on the thought of the idea of fellowship. If it's centered around those things in common, it's awfully hard to have too many disagreements. In fact, as I mentioned before, when you know you're getting ready to have a good knockdown drag out with the wife, gentlemen, or you're getting ready to go toe-to-toe with your teenage daughter, I can say that because I raised three of them. Next time, let me encourage you. Next time you know it's coming, say, sweetheart, let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray and ask God to bless this, what we're getting ready to get into. Well, it's kind of hard to get up after that and fight, isn't it? Kind of hard to go any further when you're focusing on the things of the Lord, how good God is to us. I think you'll change your mind about your thoughts and your intents and what takes place. You know, through my life in ministry, I don't want to give any names, but there's two or three men that I've met that I just did not get along with. We just had to agree to disagree after we met for a little while. But at least one of those men, after serving together, where we put together, where we had no choice because we were Bible college students, somebody had a good sense of humor and put two guys that couldn't get along together on the same bus route to work together. Now, good thing is I was the captain and he was a co, so I was a little bit older, so I was happy about that. But you know, before long that we've become good friends. Because we begin to start looking at the things that we were doing, the fellowship around Christ, around building a bus ministry, about witnessing and ministering to boys and girls or moms and dads, and our differences begin to fade because our focus was on Him, the things of God, the church of God, and what was going on in our ministry. And those other little things begin to fade away. See, when we have intense fellowship, it's because our fellowship is not biblical. Our fellowship is not where it needs to be and the place that it should be. We can agree to disagree, but we need to remember our fellowship can be maintained. And guess what? If you haven't learned this already, a marriage takes work. I don't know how many times I have to say, yes, dear. I just got to be careful I say it in the right tone that she doesn't get upset with me. Because it's not worth the battle. It's not worth the fight. And she probably does it a lot more with me than I do with her. But sometimes we need to do the same thing with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Under the breath, we say, you know, it's not worth it. I love him. He's my brother. I'm not going to let this bother me. I'm just going to let that go. Let's center it around the things of God, the church of God, what he's done for us. And let's maintain and work on maintaining our fellowship. I remember in reference to just keep on walking in the light, as we looked at, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I remember when I was a boy, especially when I went to visit grandma and grandpa. You know, when the bathroom, to go to the bathroom, you had to follow a little path to get to it. And I remember I always had a flashlight. I loved going to grandma and grandpa's house because I got to get a flashlight. I went out. You know, the one thing about the flashlight, you've pulled it out there, and it guides you for the step that you're on, step by step by step. Long as the batteries are in there, long as they're there and charged up, long as they're working properly, you'll always have light for the next step. And dear friend, just keep on walking in the light of the Word of God, and you'll always have light for the next step. We need to make sure that fellowship is not only obtained and explained, but that we maintain that fellowship. In other words, put it to use on a daily basis, not just with the Lord, which is the primary, but also with other believers that may encourage us. Number four, fellowship can be regained. Sometimes we lose fellowship. Have you ever lost fellowship? I know if you're like me, you probably have. Thank God the fellowship can be regained. David had to regain it, and he had to pray. In Psalm 51 and verse 12, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." The fellowship is regained by confession. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." See, that tells me I want to keep a clean slate with my Lord. I want to keep short accounts. I want to claim 1 John 1:9 every morning. I will start my day, "Lord, please forgive me. Help me to move forward, Lord. I don't want anything between you and me. I don't want anything between me and my Savior, between me and my wife, between me and my spouse. I want anything between me and my children and my brothers and sisters in Christ." 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Fellowship can be obtained, explained, maintained, but it can be regained. If you're here today and you've gotten away from the Lord, you're today, maybe you're not having the fellowship that you should have within your family, why not make a decision to settle it? And you've heard this before too. If we can't be right this way, how in the world do we expect to be right this way? How in the world can we be right with our wife, right with our husband, right with our kids if we're not right with God? This relationship right here helps this relationship develop and improve. And so you're having a hard time, you're having some difficulty, maybe ask yourself, well, is my relationship with him where it needs to be? And then make sure that's settled and then work on it here on the surface in front of you. Yes, here as we look at our Bible here, it says sins, not sin. This, if we confess our sins, plural, this is speaking of sins Christians commit. It's not talking about the lost, talking about Christians, sins that we commit. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if I did and you were honest, you would raise your hand with me. I wonder how many of us have sinned over the last week. A lot of little things. Little things we've done, we overlook, sometimes we justify, but the bottom line is, if we're not careful, we just can't live above sin. But we need to keep short accounts of those things. The only way for a Christian to deal with sin is to confess it to God and to get it right. Sometimes I wished that our children would keep some of the same attributes as a child when they become adults. I wish that I had some of the same attributes as a child I had that I am as an adult. I can remember one of our children when they were younger would always, I know today most people say, well, she's a tattletale. I mean, if she did wrong or her siblings did wrong, she'd be the first to go tell mom and dad, and she would say, "We did this. We did that." Very rarely she point to her sister or her brother, but sometimes she did. But she would say, "We." She would tell on herself. She would rather get it over behind her so she wouldn't be scared to death and think about, oh boy, what am I going to do when mom and dad finds out? I mean, she didn't want that anxiety. She just said, well, I messed up. I'm just going to tell mom and dad. She learned real quick that mom and dad handled a lot differently when it came that way than it came the other way. And the Lord handles things a lot differently when we go before him and confess our sins than when he has to rebuke us and chastise us because we continue to run from him. Why not keep those short accounts? Why not regain that fellowship and keep it up to date? Know that I'm right with the Lord. End every day. Start every day. I don't care if you slept all night, slept well, and you roll out of bed in the morning. Why not go ahead and Lord, help me today. Lord, help me today. I don't know about you folks. Some of the roughest times for me is not when I'm sleeping. It's when I'm awake. It's when I'm moving. It's those things that take place before I have my first cup of coffee, get in my Bible. But yet, they're there, but we can regain them. Dear friends, there is a way to have and to keep sweet fellowship with God as well as other believers. back in our text in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Dear friends, we have men in the pulpits and across America today that fear preaching the blood of Jesus Christ. It's sad, but it's very true. They're afraid they might offend someone. I don't want to preach a gory gospel. In fact, there are a couple churches out there today, a couple denominations. I think I may have mentioned this before, but they pretty much have tore out all the Pauline epistles. They just don't acknowledge them at all. Some of you are shaking your head because you know what I'm talking about in agreement. There are other churches out there, whether it be the Emergent or some of these other churches that are popping out, they never mention or bring up the blood. Oh, it's too gory. It's too much like war. And I'm like, well, have you ever read your Bible? I mean, have you not realized the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins? The book of Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 shows us that the value God places upon the blood of Christ. He says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Dear friends, the story of the Bible is a story of blood. There are three occasions here in verse 7 that I want us to see. First of all, the blood of Christ is capable. It does not fail. It has no weakness and no lack of supply. And dear friends, understanding this and grasping this should improve and help our fellowship. We should be rejoicing and glad to knowing that I can obtain, I can maintain, and I can regain this fellowship because of what Christ has done for me as well as the world around us. The blood of Jesus can save any sinner. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Yes, the blood is capable, but also notice there in verse 7 that the blood is constant. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. See, it is not cleansed, but cleanseth us from all sin. It is a constant thing, a linear action. It is continuous. Aren't you glad that he just didn't die and shed his blood for the sins I committed up to the day of salvation? But every sin, past, present, and in the future, he has forgiven. Dear friends, we need to understand and realize if we're going to have the right kind of fellowship with him, the right kind of fellowship with those around us, there are just some things that we need to adapt and believe and practice in our Christian life. Yes, that blood of Christ is capable. It is constant, but also notice it is complete. It says it cleanses us from all sin. Dear friends, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you can go out and do things with people, but you can't have fellowship. You know, I've been saved for so long, and so many things I forget. What does the world call what we call fellowship? Well, if you don't know, that means you're in the same boat that I'm in. Huh? Social gathering, Miss Margot? Partying, social gathering. That's what the world may call it. Sometimes they might call it a barbecue and includes a lot of other things. But most fellowship I ever had doesn't include a headache the next morning, doesn't include an argument that I have during the social event, doesn't include bruises I wake up with because of what I did or what I should have done the night before or should not have done the night before. I've never gone home from an occasion of church and fellowship and having a good time. I might have a few bumps and bruises if we played ball, but I've never woke up with a headache. I've never woke up hungover. I've never hung up running to the bathroom wanting to go to Europe. Never had any of that. Because sweet fellowship with God's people around God's table among God's people centered on Christ is a biblical right fellowship that we should have. But yet I think we're missing it so much because we don't have fellowship. I think some of the most miserable Christians I've ever met in my life come to church, go home, go to work, go home, and that's pretty much it. There's no fellowship. There's no time spending things together among other Christians or even sometimes even among the family. As we get back to this, I want to close. You bear with me. If you know the song, you can sing it and help me because I really shouldn't sing. I'll make everybody cry and run. But when we think about this aspect of the blood, we think about the aspect of cleansing. We think about the aspect of keeping our relationships intact and our accounts short with the Lord. No other psalm that I can think of is but nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Michelle, if you'll come to the piano. Christian friend this morning, do you have fellowship? Do you understand what fellowship is? Are you maintaining that fellowship, not just with the Lord, but with other Christians around you? Have you had that fellowship? Maybe you've gotten away from the Lord. Maybe this morning you realize, you know, I'm really not where I used to be. I'm really not where I should be. I need to have my fellowship regained back into sweet fellowship with my Lord, that I might have the fellowship with those around me more sweetly. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, preacher, this is all new to me. I guess I'm more of the socializing other background. I really don't understand this word of fellowship and what it means to know the Lord. That I invite you this morning, why not come in just a few moments and allow me to talk with you or have someone talk with you about how you can know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Christian, if you've gotten away from the things of God and not where you should be and not maybe fellowshipping the way you should with other believers, but most importantly with God himself, maybe it's a time you want to come and pray or pray where you stand and say, Lord, help me to regain that fellowship. And if you're here today and you're enjoying the fellowship of your Savior and you're enjoying the fellowship of your church family and other believers, is it not also a good time to come and pray and say, Lord, thank you for the sweet fellowship. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ who I can fellowship with and encourage one another. Whatever your lot may be, whatever the situation may be with you, you do as the Spirit of God leads you. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, as we turn before you this morning, and in a moment the pianos will begin playing and we'll start a verse or two of invitation. And Father, you know who's represented this morning. Those that are here that need to come to know you as personal Savior, those that have gotten away who need to regain their fellowship, or those that are just happy and excited about the sweet fellowship they have and they just want to thank you for it. Father, you move in the midst of your people. And Lord, you have them respond as you would have them to respond. And we'll be careful to thank you for it, for we ask in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, our panelist is playing. The Lord has spoken.